Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Ready to dive into something new today?
Always. What are we thinking?
Today it's all about mediation,
Ooh.
but like really effective mediation.
Okay, yeah.
We're talking the skills and the mindset that can help transform even the most like heated disagreements.
Sounds intense.
It is, but in a good way.
Good.
Our guide for this deep dive is Harold Coleman Jr. He's a senior executive at the American Arbitration Association.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's pretty well known in the conflict resolution world.
Makes sense.
And his article, Purposeful Preparation: The 10 Essential Mediator Skills, is like jam-packed with insights.
10. Wow.
Yeah, 10. So get ready for some serious aha moments.
Already.
I know I had a few when I was reading it.
I bet. I mean, it's not just like a skills list, right?
Yeah.
Like Coleman, he starts by talking about like these mediation mind shifts.
Okay, yeah, I gotta admit, when I first saw that phrase, I was picturing like full-on Zen meditation,
Ha.
but it's something much more practical than that.
Way more practical.
So what are these mind shifts all about?
It's about changing perspectives, you
Yeah.
know? Helping people involved move away from those like rigid positions.
Okay.
Imagine two people arguing over an orange.
Okay.
They both want the whole thing.
Classic.
Right. So typical solution, cut it in half.
Yeah, seems fair.
But what if one wants the juice and the other the peel?
Oh.
That's where the mediator's mind shift comes in, seeing beyond the surface, demand to uncover the real needs.
Oh, I see. So it's like that classic negotiation example,
Exactly.
where if you only focus on positions, you miss the underlying interests. And
Exactly.
you end up with a suboptimal solution, like two people stuck with half an orange they don't even really want.
Precisely.
So Coleman is saying this shift in thinking needs to happen not just for the people in the conflict,
Right.
but for the mediator as well.
For the mediator too, yeah.
That makes sense.
Because if the mediator is stuck in like a rigid mindset, they won't be able to guide the parties towards a creative solution.
Right. It's like a director trying to stage a play without understanding the motivations of the characters.
Exactly. And speaking of preparation, that's another key point that Coleman emphasizes.
Yeah, he even quotes Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, you know, that whole by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail thing.
Classic.
But I'll admit, I initially thought, isn't mediation mostly about just like getting people in a room to talk it out?
Right, just like winging it.
Yeah, but clearly there's more to it.
Way more.
So tell me about this purposeful preparation.
So Coleman argues that it is absolutely vital. It's about understanding not only the factual details of the dispute,
Okay.
but also the emotional landscape. You need to grasp the nuances, the unspoken tensions, the underlying interests that might be driving the conflict.
So it's not just knowing the what of the dispute, but
Right.
also the why.
Exactly.
And that why is often tied up in emotion.
So often.
Like if two siblings are arguing over an inheritance,
Yeah.
it might not really be about the money itself, but about deeper feelings of fairness or respect,
Totally.
or even love.
Exactly. And without understanding those deeper currents, a mediator could easily get swept away or miss opportunities to really guide the parties towards a resolution that it addresses those underlying emotional
You
needs.
know, it sounds like purposeful preparation is like the bedrock upon which the whole mediation process is built.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that's where these 10 essential mediator skills come in.
Okay, bring on the toolkit.
They're like a toolkit for navigating the complexities of any dispute.
All right, first up, substantive preparation,
Okay.
which sounds like it's closely related to what we've just been talking about.
It is. This skill is all about digging deep into the details of the dispute. It's not just about knowing the facts,
Okay.
but about understanding their significance. Think of it like a detective piecing together clues to understand the context of a crime.
So instead of just knowing that, say, a business partnership dissolved, a mediator with strong substantive preparation would try to understand the history of the partnership, the different perspectives on what went wrong,
Right.
and maybe even the market forces that might be at play.
Precisely. They want to understand not just the legal arguments, but the human story behind the dispute.
Okay, and that leads us to the next skill, customizing and managing the process.
Right.
This seems pretty straightforward, but I'm guessing there's more nuance to it than meets the eye.
Absolutely. Remember how we talked about mediators needing to shift their perspectives? Well, that applies to the process itself. There's no one-size-fits-all approach to mediation.
Okay.
Each situation requires a tailored approach.
So it's less about following a rigid script and more about creating a bespoke suit perfectly fitted to the situation and the people involved.
A perfect analogy. A skilled mediator will consider the specific dynamics of the conflict, the personalities of the parties,
right,
and the cultural context to create a process that feels fair and transparent.
That makes sense.
Because if the parties feel like the process is rigged against them,
yeah,
or doesn't respect their needs,
yeah,
they're unlikely to engage in good faith.
And that can derail the entire mediation.
Exactly.
Okay, now let's get to the more investigative side of things. Information gathering and investigation.
Ooh, yes.
This sounds like where the mediator really puts on their detective hat.
It is. Coleman highlights how seasoned mediators are masters of gathering information. They ask insightful questions.
Okay.
Uncover hidden details.
Okay.
And often act as a bridge, facilitating the exchange of information between the parties.
I can see how that would be crucial.
Totally.
Especially when conflicts arise from misunderstandings or miscommunication.
Oh, absolutely.
Imagine two neighbors feuding over a property line.
Okay.
They've been yelling at each other over the fence for months.
Oh, no.
A skilled mediator might discover that they both had inaccurate surveys and the property line is actually in a different spot altogether.
That's a great example.
Sometimes simply getting the right information out in the open can be a major step towards resolution.
Huge step sometimes.
But sometimes it's not just about facts and figures. Emotions run high in conflicts, and that's where the next skill comes in, managing tensions and emotions.
That's a big one.
This skill is all about creating a safe space for those emotions to be expressed and acknowledged. Mm. It's about helping the parties understand that it's okay to feel angry or hurt or frustrated, but also guiding them towards channeling those emotions in a way that's productive for the mediation.
That's a tough round.
So it's not about suppressing emotions or pretending they don't exist,
right,
but about recognizing them as a legitimate part of the process.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of skill and emotional intelligence on the part of the mediator.
I imagine it's like walking a tightrope.
It is.
You need to validate those feelings without letting them take over the entire process.
Exactly. It's a delicate balance.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that separates a good mediator from a great one.
This is fascinating stuff. I'm starting to see how all of these skills are interconnected and build upon one another. It's not just about having one or two strong skills.
No.
But about mastering a whole repertoire of techniques and approaches.
That's a great observation. Mm. These skills aren't isolated. They work together to create a symphony of effective mediation.
All right. I'm ready to delve into the next set of skills.
Okay. Let's do it.
Where do we go from here?
Well, now that we've laid the groundwork with preparation, process management, information gathering, and emotional management,
okay,
we can move into the realm of building connections and fostering collaboration.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. It's where things get really interesting.
Okay. Let's get into it.
So next up, we've got empathizing and trust building.
This one feels like especially crucial.
It is.
Like if you can't build trust with the people involved, how can you possibly hope to guide them towards a resolution?
Right. You need that foundation.
Yeah.
And Coleman really emphasizes the importance of deep listening, empathy, and building rapport.
So it's not just about hearing the words, but truly understanding the emotions behind them.
Exactly.
So active listening is key.
Yeah, paying attention to not just what's being said, but how it's being said. Tone of voice, body language.
Right.
Even the silences can be telling.
Yeah. You know, it makes me think about those moments when someone truly listens to you.
Oh, yeah.
You feel heard, understood, and it instantly lowers your defenses.
It's powerful.
And that's got to be so important in a conflict situation.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It creates a sense of safety and trust,
right,
allowing people to open up and share their vulnerabilities.
Which is essential for getting to the heart of the matter.
It is.
I mean, Coleman even quotes a psychologist who said, every dispute has both a legal case and an emotional case.
Interesting.
It makes you think about how often we focus on the legal, the factual,
right,
without addressing the emotional undercurrents that might be driving the conflict.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes addressing that emotional case is the key to unlocking a resolution.
Okay, so let's say the mediator has done a great job with preparation, process management information, gathering emotional management, and building trust.
Wow, that's a lot.
Where do we go from there?
That's when things get really interesting. Yeah. We move into the realm of creative problem solving.
Oh, okay.
This is where we brainstorm.
Yeah.
Think outside the box.
But it's not just about coming up with any solution.
Right.
It's about finding solutions that meet the underlying needs of all parties involved.
That's the goal.
It's like that orange example we talked about earlier.
Uh-huh.
Instead of just splitting the orange in half, you figure out that one person wants the juice and the other the peel.
Exactly.
It's about expanding the pie rather than just dividing it up.
I love that analogy.
A skilled mediator can help the parties see beyond their initial positions.
Yes.
And uncover those hidden needs and interests that might lead to a win-win solution.
It's about getting to the heart of it.
I'm starting to see how a mediator's experience would be so valuable here, having seen a wide variety of conflicts. Oh. They probably have a better sense of what's possible.
Definitely.
What kinds of creative solutions have worked in the past?
Absolutely. And they also have a toolbox of techniques for facilitating creative problem solving.
So it's not just about being creative yourself.
No.
But about knowing how to guide others towards creative solutions.
Exactly. And that leads us to the next skill on Coleman's list, critical thinking and analysis.
Okay, so now we're putting our analytical hats back on.
We are. At this stage, the mediator shifts from a more facilitative role to a more evaluative one.
Okay.
They help the parties analyze the strengths and weaknesses of their positions, identify potential risks and opportunities, and assess the possible consequences of different courses of action.
So it's about taking a step back.
Yeah.
And looking at the situation objectively, almost like a consultant would.
That's a great way to put it. It's about helping the parties see the forest for the trees.
I like that.
To cut through the emotions and the rhetoric and get to the core issues.
But this must require a very delicate touch.
It does.
You don't want to come across as judgmental or dismissive of the party's feelings.
Absolutely. This is where all of the previous skills, building trust, empathizing, active listening, become even more important.
So you're basically saying, I hear you, I understand your perspective, and now let's analyze the situation together to see what options might be available.
Exactly. It's about creating a collaborative environment where critical analysis can happen without undermining the trust and rapport that's been built.
Okay, so we've covered preparation, process, management, information, gathering emotional management, trust building, creative problem solving, and now critical thinking and analysis.
We've been busy.
I'm starting to feel like a mediation expert.
You're getting there.
What's next?
Well, hopefully all of these skills culminate in the next one on Coleman's list, generating agreements.
Ah, the finish line.
Maybe.
This is where the parties shake hands and the conflict is resolved.
It can be.
Uh-huh.
But as Coleman points out, generating an agreement isn't always the primary objective. Sometimes the most valuable outcome of a mediation is an informed decision, even if that decision is to pursue other options.
So it's not about forcing a settlement.
No.
It's about helping the parties reach a decision that's in their best interests, whether that means reaching an agreement, walking away from the table, or exploring other avenues.
Precisely. A skilled mediator understands that sometimes the best way to serve the parties is to help them make a clear-eyed decision about the path forward.
That's an important point. It highlights the ethical dimension of mediation.
It does.
The mediator isn't there to pressure anyone into settling,
right,
but to empower them to make the best choice for their situation.
Exactly. And that brings us to the next skill, which plays a crucial role in this process. Presentation and persuasion.
Okay, I'm picturing a mediator giving a rousing speech, trying to convince everyone to sign on the dotted line.
Uh-huh. Not quite. It's more subtle than that. Yeah. It's about the mediator's overall presence, their communication style, their ability to connect with people and build rapport.
So it's about being authentic, engaging, and, yes, persuasive, but not in a manipulative way.
Right.
It's about helping people understand the situation, see the potential for resolution, and feel confident in the choices they're making.
Exactly. And this ties back to all of the previous skills we've discussed. A mediator who has mastered those skills will naturally have a more persuasive presence. They'll be able to communicate effectively, frame issues in a way that resonates with the parties, and highlight the benefits of different options without resorting to pressure tactics.
It's like a chef who has mastered all the techniques and ingredients.
Oh, I like that.
They can create a delicious dish without even having to follow a recipe.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And it brings us to the final skill on Coleman's list, persistence.
Okay, persistence. This feels especially important in those really challenging mediations where the parties seem miles apart.
Absolutely. Persistence is all about stamina, about not giving up easily when the going gets tough. Conflict resolution can be messy and emotionally draining, even for the mediator. But a skilled mediator understands that sometimes you have to push through those difficult moments to reach a breakthrough.
So it's not just about encouraging the parties to persist,
right,
but about embodying that persistence yourself.
Exactly. It's about modeling that commitment to the process, even when it feels like you're hitting a brick wall.
This really highlights the dedication and passion that great mediators bring to their work. They're not just there to facilitate a process. They're invested in helping people find a way through their conflicts.
That's so true. And that persistence can make all the difference between a successful mediation and an impasse.
We've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
These 10 skills really paint a vivid picture of what it takes to be an effective mediator.
They do. And what's fascinating is that these skills aren't just for professional mediators.
Right.
They're valuable for anyone navigating conflict, whether in their personal or professional lives.
Absolutely. We can all benefit from improving our ability to listen with empathy, communicate effectively, think creatively, and approach conflict with a collaborative spirit.
Speaking of broader applications, I'm curious about your thoughts on the role of technology in mediation. It's a topic that Coleman touches on briefly in his article.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. On one hand, technology can make mediation more accessible,
right,
allowing people in different locations to participate remotely.
Uh-huh.
But I also wonder about the potential drawbacks.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, can you truly build rapport and trust through a screen?
Right.
How do you read those subtle cues, the body language, the tone of voice, that are so crucial in a face-to-face interaction?
It makes you wonder how the role of the mediator might evolve as technology continues to shape the way we interact.
Right.
Will these essential skills remain relevant, or will new ones emerge?
Those are great questions to ponder, and it's something we'll definitely be exploring further in future deep dives.
Yeah, it feels like we've only just scratched the surface.
Right.
I'm already thinking about all the different ways these mediation skills could be applied in everyday life.
Oh, totally. Not just in formal settings.
Like workplace conflicts, family disagreements.
Yeah.
Even negotiating with a contractor or a landlord.
Those are tough ones.
These skills can be incredibly valuable tools for navigating those situations.
Absolutely.
It's like having a secret weapon in your back pocket.
I like that.
You might not always need to use it,
right,
but knowing you have it gives you a sense of confidence.
For sure.
And control.
And that brings me back to something that Coleman emphasized throughout his article.
Okay.
The importance of the mediator not being the decision maker.
Right. It's almost like a mantra for him.
It is.
The parties themselves own the process and the outcome.
Absolutely.
Why do you think that's so crucial, especially as we consider the future of mediation?
I think it speaks to the very heart of what makes mediation effective. You know?
Okay.
It's about empowering people to find solutions that truly work for them rather than imposing a solution from the outside.
Right.
And that principle, I believe, will remain essential no matter how technology or societal norms might change the landscape of conflict resolution.
It makes me think about how traditional legal battles can be so adversarial.
Totally.
It's all about winning and losing,
uh-huh,
which can create even more division and resentment.
Exactly. Whereas mediation, when done well, can actually be a healing process.
A healing process.
It can. It gives people a voice agency and a sense of control over their own destinies, even in the midst of a dispute.
That's powerful. It's like shifting from a win-lose mentality,
yeah,
to a win-win perspective.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that shift can be transformative, not just for resolving the immediate conflict, but for building stronger relationships and fostering a more collaborative approach to conflict in the future.
This has been such an eye-opening deep dive.
It has been fun.
I feel like I've gained a whole new understanding of what mediation is really about and the incredible impact it can have.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
And I hope our listeners are feeling inspired to apply these skills in their own lives.
For sure. Even in small ways.
Yeah, definitely.
Whether it's having a difficult conversation with a family member.
Yeah.
Negotiating a contract.
Yeah.
Or simply trying to understand a different perspective.
Exactly. These skills can make a world of difference.
Well, on that note, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into the fascinating world of mediation.
It's been a pleasure.
A huge thank you to Harold Coleman Jr. for his insightful article, which provided the foundation for our exploration. We'll be sure to include a link to it in the show notes for anyone who wants to dive deeper.
And to our listeners, we encourage you to continue exploring the power of mediation and all its possibilities.
Remember, even the most challenging conflicts can be transformed into opportunities for growth, understanding, and connection.
So embrace the power of mediation and never underestimate your own ability to be a peacemaker in your own life and in the world.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll be back soon with another fascinating topic to explore. Until then, stay curious and keep diving deep.